Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can solve. Greetings, beloved. This is Sister Judith, and I welcome you to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast, heard on this station every day, Monday through Friday. I thank you for joining me today. We're continuing on with a message I began last week entitled, The Law of the New Covenant. And we were sharing a perspective and an understanding of God's principles and His ways that are exemplified through scriptural examples that I have shared with you on preceding broadcasts. And should you be a new listener, if at any point you would like to rehear or listen to a broadcast that perhaps you've missed, just go to our website, www.unveilchrist.org, and you may click on the broadcast where they are archived, and you can listen anytime at your convenience. We looked at an example given in Matthew, the 12th chapter, verses 1 through 8, where Jesus addressed the Pharisees who were rebuking His disciples for eating and plucking grain on corn on the Sabbath, which is not lawful for them to do. And Jesus' response was that the Sabbath was made for man and not man for the Sabbath. And He gave as an illustration 1 Samuel 21 and 6, where David and his men did something totally unlawful. They ate of the shewbread, which was only permitted to the holy priesthood to eat, those who were ministering around in the tabernacle. And on the last broadcast, we shared an example out of Numbers 12, 1 through 8, and this was an episode in the life of Moses where we see his sister Miriam and his brother Aaron began to find fault with Moses. They said, "Is it through Moses alone that God speaks? Does He not speak through us also?" And in fact, we know that God authorized Aaron to be the very spokesperson for Moses to the people of Israel, because Moses was not feeling up to the job, and he was trying to make excuses. "Lord, you know I can't speak. I'm slow of speech." And so God allowed that to occur. And as I shared on the last broadcast, I believe this is a foreshadowing of the New Testament perfect law of liberty. Now, I'm not going to take time to read that passage, but basically they spoke against Moses on the pretext of his marriage that he had contracted with an Ethiopian or Cushite woman. And they complained, "Is it through Moses alone that God speaks? Doesn't He speak through us also?" Now, Moses was very meek, none like him in the earth, the scriptures say, and he was very gentle, modest, most humble, exceedingly patient and tolerant. Certainly that was the case. He had to lead those thousands of stubborn, rebellious Israelites. And what's going on here? Well, let's look at from this point of view. Just like the Pharisees were saying, "Hey, you know, this isn't lawful for your disciples, Jesus, to be doing this," and it certainly wasn't lawful for David and his men to do what they did, but may I suggest that Miriam and Aaron had a very valid issue. In the early times of Israel, in the Genesis, as it was recorded, it was the general practice to marry within one's own clan. What was God doing through the people of Israel? They were His chosen people. He wanted to demonstrate before the universe, if you will, and to the nations of the world, that there were a people that He chose, not because they were the greatest or the wisest or the smartest, but because God had placed His election and calling upon them, and they were to be a testimony and a witness to the nations of the world, of the worship of the one true God. Now, when Moses received that second set of tablets, God said he was making a covenant with them. When Moses received the Ten Commandments, when he was on Mount Sinai, he said he would drive out the Canaanites before the children of Israel. And he said, do not make a covenant with them. Do not give your daughters to their sons in marriage. Marriage with the Canaanites was prohibited. That's found in Deuteronomy 7:34. And in Exodus 34 and 16. Why? Because God wanted to keep the bloodline pure, and not only that, he, being God Almighty, being the fountainhead of all wisdom and knowledge, he knew that if they intermarried, if they mingled with them, that their hearts would be persuaded to false worship of idols, they would turn against from wholehearted service to the living God. And so that's why he gave them that prohibition. He warned them. And yet, we look through the Old Testament and we see marriage with foreign women did take place. In the case of Joseph, he married an Egyptian woman. Remember, he was in bondage in Egypt, and when God raised him up to provide an answer, he interpreted Pharaoh's dream, and he was the vehicle by which the Egyptians, and in fact, the very people of Israel, they came, 70 of them, to Egypt, and were preserved in the days of famine. He married an Egyptian woman. There was Moses, who married an Ethiopian woman, David, Solomon. They had marriage with foreign wives, and this was especially after the monarchy was established. It was considered necessary to preserve national and religious solidarity. But what did the Lord say to Aaron and Miriam? What was his rebuke? He said, with him, with Moses, I speak face to face, in person, plainly, not obscurely or in riddles. And beloved, God is desiring that kind of relationship with us, the kind of relationship he had with Moses. It was, if you will, a New Testament foreshadowing of God's heart for all of his people. 1 Corinthians 13 and 12 says, for now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know even as I am also known. What do we see going on here? There is a love relationship that God is after with himself as well as with others. And in the New Testament, we see a great emphasis placed on not judging others. Why? Because only God knows the heart. Only God knows all the factors. That's why, on the surface, we could say that Aaron and Miriam were correct. You know, Moses, what are you doing? You've married an Ethiopian woman. You're supposed to be an example for all the people of Israel. And what are you doing? You married this Cushite woman. Well, but you see, why didn't God side with Aaron and Miriam? Because he was illustrating a principle that, yes, God gives his laws and rules, and they are not really open to interpretation. We are to follow them. The only one who is not subject to his own laws is God. As I made this astounding, shocking statement, God is not going to be held in bondage to his laws. I've seen people, they've almost like shaken the Bible in the face of God, and you say, you, and they think they're talking in power and authority and anointing. You see your word, God, you said, so I command and decree this is going to be done. Well, you know what, beloved? God is going to move as he sovereignly chooses and wills. We must bow in humility of heart before the sovereign Lord of the universe and allow him, although he has given laws and principles for mankind's exhortation and our edification, and if we will follow them, we will be blessed. However, he alone is God, and he can do what he wants to do because he is the sovereign Lord. He knows what he is doing. That we may not understand fully the ways of God and how he has moved in our lives until we stand before him. And as I said even before, even then he doesn't owe us an explanation. We are the clay. He is the potter. He can do with us as he chooses. But we must keep this in mind. He is a God of love. He is a sovereign Lord, but he loves his people. His motivation is always goodness. There is no darkness in the Lord. There is no evil in the Lord. He is not tested or tempted with sin. He is perfect in beauty and righteousness and holiness, and we have to trust his judgment and will. He alone knows all the factors. God is looking at your heart, beloved. He's looking at my heart. In 1 Kings 11 and 4, what do we see? God blessed Solomon. He was the wisest man in all of the earth. He had all the riches. He had fame. He had notoriety, so that there was none like him, the scriptures say, either before or after him. And yet we read in 1 Kings 11:4, for it came to pass when Solomon was old that his wives turned away his heart after other gods, and his heart was not perfect with the Lord his God, as was the heart of David his father. God is looking for a perfect heart. Those whose hearts are perfect toward him, God will show himself strong. The eyes of the Lord rove to and fro throughout the whole earth, seeking to prove himself strong in behalf of those whose heart is perfect toward him. Do you know what? God did not even address the issue and complaint of Miriam and Aaron. He did address what they had done and the condition of their own hearts. And beloved, as a prophetic people, we have to be greatly on guard in this area against spiritual pride when we begin to be used by God. Beloved, these are examples given to us in the scripture for our admonition. And I, with all the love in my heart, exhort you to not judge one another, to not be critical of one another. Beloved, there are whole ministries in broadcast media that devote themselves to tearing apart and tearing down other leaders in the body of Christ. God is going to deal with them, beloved. We have to have wisdom, we have to have discernment, but let God take care of his house. He's more than able. Well, beloved, I've got so much more to share, but we'll have to continue on tomorrow's broadcast. I love you. The announcer is going to give our contact information. If you have prayer needs, won't you write? I'd love to hear from new members of my radio family. Praise God. Until then, this is Sister Glass. May God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
Well, this has been the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Sister Glass. Thank you for spending time with us. We pray it's been a time of ministry and encouragement for you. If you would like to write to Sister Glass, there are a couple of ways you can do so. You can write and address your envelope to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code, or visit our website, unveiledchrist.org, and drop Sister Glass an email. Again, write to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho, 83606, or send her an email through our website, unveiledchrist.org. And please remember that your prayers and tax-deductible support allow this ministry to continue on this station. Until next time, God bless. Oh,